Are you looking for a Columbus car dealership built on tradition and trust? Buyers Auto, family-owned since 1897, offers top new and pre-owned vehicles. Visit us or shop online at buyersauto.com. Buyers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find the full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
This is Absolute Radio Country. I am Ben Earle, and my guest today is an artist who began writing songs when she was just 15. But when she started posting covers of her favorite 90s country songs on social media, she went massively viral, and now you literally have millions of followers, some very famous fans as well, and you sold out shows all across the UK, including tonight in London at the Assembly Hall in Islington. Alexandra Kay, welcome to Absolute Radio Country.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. I've been following you on Twitter for so long, so I'm like so glad we're finally meeting.
Oh, well, we're very, very excited to have you, and your show tonight in London's going to be massive. We'll talk about that in a bit, but I really want to find out, where did your love of country start? Because did I see you were kind of writing R&B and hip-hop at one point?
I was. But my love for country music started as a young child. So my parents pretty much only listened to country. I mean, it was like 92.3, 93.7 were the two country stations where I grew up in like the St. Louis area. And it was nonstop what they had on. So I was listening, and that was like in the 90s. So I was listening to, you know, a lot of George Strait and a wonderful females. I mean, we had like Alan Jackson, Garth Brooks was huge at that time, always playing on the radio, George Strait, John Michael Montgomery, whom I love. But I mean, like the ladies were running the airwaves at that time. And so it was like such an inspiring time for women falling in love with country music. You had Faith Hill, you had Leanne Rimes, you had Joni Messina, you had Sarah Evans. It was a huge time. And so I honestly fell in love with the country music songwriting first. I fell in love with the storytelling. And so when I got to be a little bit older, around like 13, 14 years old, I started kind of like writing poetry, and then could just hear these melodies, and it just kind of came out as like 90s style country songs.
Wow. And those are the ones that you started covering and then sort of went viral with, the 90s country songs.
100%. Yeah. Because as you noticed, I mean, it was like all 90s country songs. It's all my favorites from when I was a kid, and just my favorite songs that made me fall in love with the genre in the backseat of that car, you know? So I covered Joni Messina all the time, which is so crazy because she's a friend of mine now, which is like mind blowing. As well as I've met Faith Hill now, and I've covered her God knows how many times. So just like, yeah, life is crazy.
I was going to say, because the list of people you've collaborated with and like you say, cool friends. I mean, Gary LaVox from Rascal Flatts, yeah. Tim McGraw, Randy Travis, and Joe DiMessina, who you just mentioned. I must be, like you say, a pinch me moment that you can call some of them friends. But what kind of wisdom have they passed on to you, if any?
Oh, wow. So much. I mean, just getting to be on tour with Tim was one of the most incredible experiences of my life. Just getting to be around him, he's such a pro, right? He's like, for me, he's just the definition of pro. He's so focused. I mean, he's working out multiple times a day before he's putting on like a 2-hour long show in the heat. He's like running up and down the stairs at the arena or at the amphitheater. And I'm just like watching him like, oh my God. And then he's like going into the sauna and sweating it all out. And he's out just like hanging out and talking to everybody and playing basketball. And then he's in there having a songwriting session, and then he's recording this and the bus, and he's just an absolute pro, you know? And like, I walked by him one day and we had like a rain delay on the show when I was opening for him, and it got pushed back. And so like my set, right, there wasn't a lot of people out there because like they were just letting people back in the amphitheater after like the lightning. And I came back out and he was like apologizing to me.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I'm so sorry for the rain and that you didn't have a lot of people to play for. And I was like, Tim, my gosh, like, it's fine. I'm happy to be here, you know? And he was like, these are the nights when we learn our chops. This is the nights when we sharpen our knives. And I was like, 100%. So he is just a walking book of wisdom. So,
I love that. Did you join him for a workout anytime?
I did one time. Yeah, I tried to just sneak past. I'm not going to lie. I tried to just sneak past, and I think I was headed back to catering to get like my third meal of the day, and he, or like ice cream or candy or something. And he always had this big like CrossFit gym kind of set out there. And then he had like a whole nother trailer of treadmills, and it was like 100 degrees in there. But I was like walking past to go to catering, and he was like, Alexandra, you going to change? And I was like, yeah. He's like, because you're doing the workout, right? I was like, yeah. I made it through half of it. And I literally was like, Tim, I have an interview. I have to. He was like, oh, yeah. Okay, for sure. Because amazing. I was like literally about to puke in front of Tim McGraw. I was getting my butt kicked so much in the workout, but it was so cool.
Love that. That's so amazing. What a great story. I love your songs. I've listened to your album, All I've Ever Known, a lot. And you're very open and honest, specifically about your divorce in the most of the songs, and also on social media as well. But I've seen that you admire Taylor Swift as a songwriter. And I was wondering, do you think there's maybe a similarity in the fact that Taylor's so open in her songs and so genuine as a person, and you are too? And is that maybe why people are connecting? Because you're just so real in your songs.
There absolutely is a similarity, because it's the reason why I write the way I write is because of Taylor and how her songs affected me. And, you know, when I started writing songs at a very young age, what I wanted to be as a songwriter and as an artist was just somebody that felt like they were sitting next to you in class, you know, that felt like they could be in your Spanish class or part of your friend group, or somebody you could just walk up to on the street and ask for advice, like your big sister. That's what I wanted to be to anybody listening to these songs. And I think the way that Taylor was able to touch me in such a deep way at such a young age to make me want to start expressing myself in this way was because she did something that I try to do in all of my songs and I've kept with me all these years, is the way that she writes makes it seem like she's talking exactly about your situation. So she'll give you little Easter eggs, little bits of very specific moments, and to make you feel like you're like, how did she know? Like, how did she know exactly my situation? But she makes it vague enough to make everyone feel that way. And that is what I have modeled my songwriting by. It's what I bring into every single room, is that's the feeling I want to convey. That's what I want to make everybody have that aha moment of, wow, how does she know me so well?
And it's amazing because I haven't been divorced. And yet I really feel like those songs, I don't know, I can really relate to it massively. My favorite by you is actually I Hate Airplanes.
And
all the kind of like the furniture, and you're talking about the boarding pass, really specific furniture language, really sort of little things I just love. And I think you nailed that song, by the way. I'm quite jealous. As a songwriter myself, I'm quite jealous.
The furniture, that's it. Yes. Yeah, thank you so much. You know, I wrote that song about, I had an ex-boyfriend that was in the Air Force. And every single time I got on an airplane after that, even when I was over him, I wasn't in love with him anymore. The relationship had passed. For years, I would get off of an airplane at the St. Louis airport, which is where I would pick him up. And anytime I was walking through that American Airlines terminal, I just like saw him coming around the corner, and my heart would just start beating because I would go all this time without seeing him. And it just made me loathe traveling in those like heartbreak moments. And that's what we wrote that song about. So one of my favorites as well. I'm really glad you love that one.
It's great. I have to ask about the Grand Ole Opry, because you made your debut last year. I watched the video. I mean, I played it myself as well, so I know how I feel. But can you talk to me about when you get the call and then how the whole day just went for you? What's that experience like?
Well, first of all, when I got the call, my parents had already been scheming, because my dad is the one who broke it to me. So I didn't actually get the call first. My manager, Beth, did. And then she kind of arranged for my parents to be in Nashville. And we went to one of my favorite restaurants. And my parents just kind of like made up some excuse to have to come through Nashville that I actually believed wholeheartedly. My dad works for a hotel. And so my dad was like, oh, there's a new hotel of the chain that he works at, the hotel branch he works at. And he was like, they're opening a new one and they need someone to come train, you know, his position. And so I'm going to actually be in Nashville. And I was like, oh my gosh, awesome. I'm actually driving back to Nashville. I'll just ride with you. And he was like, 100%. They planned this whole thing. We go to dinner. My dad starts talking about Jelly Roll, whom, you know, I just absolutely adore, a good friend of mine and like an idol and like an icon. And I'm just like, okay, where is he going with this Jelly Roll story? Like, yeah, that's really cool, you know. And he's like, well, you're making your Opry debut on this day. And I was like, it was just so...
just a throwaway.
He just slipped it right into the conversation so effortlessly that I was just like, Dad, I'm impressed. Like, it almost got past me. You can see in the video where I'm just like, what? And my brain is like trying to connect these dots. But so awesome the way that they did it, and the way that my family was just able to be a part of the really big moment. And you know what's crazy is that is around the time when people, I think, started to notice that my relationship, that we weren't together anymore, because my ex-husband at the time wasn't there, but we hadn't announced that we weren't together. And then my ex ended up actually coming to my Grand Ole Opry debut.
Oh my gosh, wow. Year.
And we were still in one of those moments of trying to see if we could make anything happen or work anything out in that point. And it was after that that we decided to fully call it quits.
Wow. Yeah.
So isn't it strange that I was like going through, like that nobody even knew that on like one of the happiest days of my life, of my Grand Ole Opry debut, that my like soon to be ex-husband was there, and we're like fighting this crazy battle together. And like, I'm just supposed to like go up there and also have the biggest moment of my life when my like personal life is falling apart. It was just like a really crazy time for me. Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, as an artist, no one knows what's really going on inside. When you're up on that stage, making that, you know, massive milestone in your career, were you kind of conflicted, or did you just let it go while you're on the stage?
Once I got on the stage, everything was different. You know, I mean, it's the Grand Ole Opry. It's the most iconic stage I could step on. I mean, all I could feel was the energy of people that came before me, and I was fighting more to make myself feel worthy of being in this position, right? Because I think I fight that a lot. I fight the imposter syndrome a lot, right? Because I have tried my best through this whole thing to just stay humble and grounded. And when I am at the core of my being and looking at where I am as a girl from Southern Illinois who has no connections to the music business, who no one in her family sings, no one plays an instrument, it's like, I'm like, how did I get here? So I fight that imposter syndrome a lot. And so really it was important to me in that moment just to let myself feel, you know, the fruits of my labor just kind of blossom and to allow myself to feel like I deserve to be there. And so it was just a really, really surreal moment. And the energy in that circle is insane. It's almost like creepy.
Do you think that almost adds to that original Woods? If people don't know, they've got the whole stage and they've got the original Wood from the Ryman they brought over. And you walk into that tiny circle. It's tiny, isn't it? It's like
from the flood. And people don't know that. Yeah, that they like saved it from the flood and they brought it over. And so it's like, that's what I had done a couple of content days at the Grand Ole Opry just to promote like some events at the Grand Ole Opry. Me and Cooper Allen and a couple of my other friends had done some content there, but we never stepped inside the circle, because that's the thing. It's like, you don't step in the circle until you have your moment. Yeah. So we were just kind of tiptoeing around it the whole day, because we're like, no, not until we get our Opry debut. And then it's really, what's really, really cool is at that time, none of us had a Grand Ole Opry debut. And now all four of us who did that shoot that day
had our debut.
It's really cool.
I will say, if you haven't seen the video online of Alexandra's Grand Ole Opry debut, do check it out, because it's an amazing video. It has some backstory as well to it of your life. I absolutely loved it. You played C2C over in London last year for the first time. How do you feel about UK crowds? Is it different to the US?
Oh, completely different. Also, I am in love with London. I'm in love with Manchester. I'm so excited that I'm coming back over. You have no idea. I'm like counting down the days. But it's honestly, playing C2C last year, it was one of those things where, as an independent artist, you know, it's expensive for me to get myself over there, and I'm a completely independent. So I don't have a label, like label money to get me over. And so it was that important to me that we went over and we saw these fans in the UK, which we had way less fans in the UK at that time than we do now, after having gone to C2C and playing, what, 4 shows over there. It really meant that much to me to go over there and to give the hugs and to cultivate that relationship with them over there. And I'm so glad we did. And I would spend the money 10 times over to go back over there and do it again. And now, like, I think where we really kind of saw all of our hard work and that trip kind of pay off was when we put the London show up and it sold out like that. And we were just like, whoa, okay, something's happening, you know?
Definitely. I mean, it's not a small venue. Hall. I mean, to sell it out for anyone is amazing, but you know, to be in the position you're in, I'm so, so happy for you, honestly. I think it's brilliant. I'll be there tonight, so I cannot wait
to see you play. I can't wait to meet you in person.
It's gonna be really good, really good. I've got just a couple more questions for you. I will let you go, because I know you're really busy. But just with social media, I'm so fascinated by it for you. Like, I saw a video of you going on a donut date a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it's like, do you feel a responsibility to be real? You've got so many fans, like nearly 4 million followers on there. Do you feel a responsibility to be what people expect you to be? Or are you just yourself? How do you process being on social media?
You know what? I'm so happy that I never tried to put on some persona or ever tried to change in any way to be more accepted or to fit into a box very early in my social media career, I guess, or in my country music career, because I truly am just 150% myself. It's extremely authentic, and it's just really like, Rocco and I were going to go on that donut date anyways, and I just kind of was like, this place is really cool, and I feel like TikTok fans who have never been to Nashville, like, they would want to visit this donut shop next time they come to Nashville. So, like, that's my thought process, is just, like, showing people little nuances of my life, because at the end of the day, I'm just a normal girl who
loves donuts.
Loves donuts and loves country music and gets to do all of these cool things, but because of them, right? So I tell people this all the time, and every single time I step up on a stage, I say thank you. And it's not just a thank you guys for everything. It is a whole moment of me saying, no, please take that into your heart when I say thank you. And please know that I mean it, because I'm an independent artist. I don't have anybody making the big time phone calls for me. I don't have anybody pressing the big red button and say, we're going to make her a star. The only thing that I have is my fans and the support of those people, and I would have nothing without them. And so that's what makes me so excited to not only get to tour in the US, but to get to go to London, to get to go to Manchester, going to Glasgow for the first time, Scotland for the first time, going to Germany for the first time, the Netherlands, going back to Australia. It's like, I just feel like I'm living this fairy tale life, and it's all because of the fans and everything they've given me. So,
oh, that's so lovely. Do you know what? All the biggest artists I've met, they remember. It's not really about them. It's about the fans, like you said. And seeing some of the videos of people singing along to your songs, it shows. You can see how much it means to them in their life. And I think you're absolutely smashing it at the moment. I'm so happy to have chatted to you today. Thank you so much. Lovely to meet you. I'll see
you
at the London show.
Take care.
See you later.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters. And we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.